They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it's almost inconceivable that he would have no wins at this point. But think of it this way. This is his 11th start in the postseason. His teams have never scored for him in the first inning until tonight.
A runner at first. He takes off and a swing and a high fly ball deep left. This one's going to fly out of Fenway. Hits the banner above the monster seats. A booming home run for Marwin Gonzalez. It's a two-run blast, and the Astros lead 4-2. And now it's about stuff on the mound, and Alex Cora is going to take his chances with his pen. David Price will exit here in the fifth.
I thought he was a warrior and that he was going to compete. The best thing that I saw was the Boston fans recognize the effort and go out there, give him a standing ovation. And not only that, whenever he got someone in deep in the count, they all stood up to support him. And that's what I want to see.
Pedro Martinez appreciates the standing ovation that David Price got last night as he departed. Red Sox get what was a must-win last night at Fenway Park. They've evened up the ALCS at one game apiece, heading back to Houston for tomorrow night in Game 3.
Well, he'd know more than us. I mean, to what that would mean to a pitcher and to that guy. And Pedro's sort of been on this thing where, you know, it's up to David. David's, you know, he said he's so talented, but he's got to stand there and he's got to face it. And he's got to stare people down. He's got to get the job done. I still don't feel great about it. I mean, it's still an okay start. I understand why they're clapping. But like what Ron Darling said there, why that's a head scratcher. Okay. You've had 11 postseason starts. Not once has his team scored for him in the first thing. Why is that a thing? You're in the playoffs. The teams are better. The pitching should be better. You should go out and mow people down in the first thing.
I just want to say
both sides. You know what I mean?
I'm done with TBS, man.
Why is that?
I'm just done with it. I'm done with TBS. I'm done with their announcers.
Why is that a talking point? Teams haven't scored for him in the first inning.
Why? Because it's excuse making. It's one pitcher.
One freaking inning.
It's one pitcher making excuses for another. Darling making excuses or just sort of dismissing.
That made me feel worse about it. Like, yeah.
He's dismissing everything that Price has been in the playoffs as if it were some sort of small sample that could be explained away with, I didn't really have the run support in those first 10 starts that he made in the postseason and his team won none of them. Yeah, it was all run support over those 10 games. It's a foolish comment. It's just not true. Garbage. Price was better last night. There's no denying that. He's taken a step in the right direction, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and fawn over David Price, but how great he was. 4 2/3, he gives up 4 earned runs. That's not a $217 million a year pitcher.
Right. I don't understand
the bar
is
so incredibly low for him.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel better about it with Darling making that point. Like, it's okay, you're trying to accentuate a, you know, a guy could barely get through 4 innings. You know, you're supposed to be one of the frontline guys, one of your top two guys.
He got through
you
4.
Should come out and be
couldn't
able to
get
pitch.
Through, couldn't get through 5.
Right. I mean, but I'm generally speaking, you know, factoring in the way it was last week for him. But, I mean, you should come out and mow people down the first inning. So should the other guy. Should take your hitters a while to get going. It's the damn playoffs. The ALCS. What are you making excuses for that guy for? A little odd. A little odd by Darling. But I understand Pedro's point.
It's like just cheesy national coverage of his sport that just you're like, what? What? No. Give me a break. Hitless in the series is J.D. Martinez, by the way. Sort of a problem there.
What's going on there?
Sort of a problem developing. So last night, David Price didn't. I don't think David Price hurt the team. I don't think David Price will, you know, put them in a position they had to dig themselves out of. He was okay. He was okay. I don't think it validates the decision to start him. I don't think you can look at that and say, oh, how right were they to start him?
Yeah, like by doing that, does that make you excited for his next start? No.
No.
It makes you concerned again. Just like, okay, what's it going to be like again? Probably about the same. From expectation level, I think it's 4-0. If he gets past 4, you're, wow, okay, maybe he's doing something. Isn't that something, though? Like, to think about how far away you're removed from, you know, the Schilling days, the Pedro days, where, you know, someone takes the mound or an Andy Pettit You know, to hear the way Joe Torre the other night talked about Andy Pettit. You got one guy, you need to win a game seven. Who are you going to? He's Andy Pettit.
All right, no one knows what you're talking about there. I mean, so quickly,
Joe Torre was at the Belichick thing.
At Bill Belichick's foundation event on Friday night.
And they were just telling stories, and it was with Tony La Russa. La Russa's like, I had Carpenter, and I mean, Jim Tomey was sitting up there with the crew. And you know how good Tomey was at hitting the ball. And La Russa's like, I want you to hit him square in the back. I ain't hitting him square in the back, said Carpenter. And Carpenter throws hard. And then La Russa and him end up going at it in the dugout. And just the back and forth type of stories of gritty pitchers. And Torrey's talking about the guys he had for the Yankees and, of course, the great pitchers he had here for the Red Sox. And it's just like it takes everything for these guys to even get past 3-4 innings, any of them. Even Chris Sale now. Chris Sale has no velocity. He's in a hospital now with a stomach ailment. Where's your top two guys? Chris Sale and David Price. It's just, and we worry about, you know, okay, say those guys would get knocked out. I mean, guys like Joe Kelly have gone in and done their job. I know you talked about Workman earlier. Workman's not very good.
Right. I mean, he's
but the other guys,
he's
like
one of your
Brassers,
first guys you're going to out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, other guys are getting in there and competing, and I think they're giving you something. I mean, the guys that are puddles are really, it's just like Price and freaking Craig Kimbrell now.
Are you surprised Pedro said that after the game, though?
A little bit.
I just looked up the box score from when he called the Yankees his daddy.
Yeah.
He pitched 7 1/3 and gave up 5 runs.
Thank you.
And then he did that after the game. And now 10 years later, 15 years later, he's saying this.
It feels soft.
But my point is,
the whole thing feels soft.
The point is the game changed. The game changed.
I think it all speaks to how low the bar is for David Price. Like we now,
yay, you gave good effort. What?
What do you mean gave good effort? Did we ever give, and listen, this sounds like you're grouchy, you know, Red Sox. Did we ever give Pedro a standing over his effort?
I didn't know that
you made it into the fifth tonight. Stop.
That a somewhat decent effort in an ALCS game is the bar now. That's what $32 million pitches
I look at it and say, well, he didn't lose it for him. He didn't win it for them. But, yeah, he was okay. Let's move on.
No, the Red Sox gave him a 2-0 lead, and he gave it right back.
Well, part of it is, he did give it right back. But I would say defensively, the Red Sox have suffered in this series. Xander Bogaerts last night doesn't help the cause. And the night before, Eduardo Nunez was a train wreck. Eduardo Nunez at third base is embarrassing. It's bad. It's so bad. And I know that he made the play at the end of the Yankees series, which was a great play. But outside of that play, he did not have a good series at third, and he has definitely not had a good series at third so far in this series. That was maddening on Saturday night to watch him play third base and be such a butcher over there. Oh, it's so bad. So bad.
Devers played well last night there, by the way.
I know.
Defensively.
I know. I haven't yelled at my TV in a while about the Red Sox. Nunez makes me yell at my TV. He does. He makes me yell. Nunez gets me upset at third, defensively. It's not good. 617-779-0985. John in Bridgewater. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I just wanted to make a comment on Kimbrell and the bullpen. Think how crazy it is. You know, Kimbrell's lights out during the season, and the bullpen is shaky. We heard so much talk about it, and now it's swapped in the playoffs. Kimbrell, you know, I'm sweating every time I see them bring Kimbrell into the game, and the bullpen's pitching awesome.
I mean, he should now. Kimbrell's giving you reason for concern.
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah. Kimbrell hasn't been very good. He's been skittish.
This is it for him, too.
What did Shaughnessy call it today? It's a live wire or what is it? High wire act.
High wire.
Bouncing on that live wire. High wire act every time.
Maybe it should bend over a little more. Like get it way down here.
Yeah. Everyone's doing that. Didn't you know?
Well,
everyone's
doing the Kimbrell. All around Fenway. It's a phenomenon.
Hey, coming up at 12:50. Excuse me. Sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50. More your calls. Red Sox and Patriots related next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mahomes takes the snap, dropping back, throws it toward the end zone for Hill, who's open in the right corner and makes the catch for a touchdown, Kansas City.
Fast. I've never seen one that fast before. The fastest guy I've ever covered before.
Dropping back, looking to throw. Fades it left for Hunt, and then it's caught by behind him with a sliding catch for a touchdown by Tyreek Hill.
You beat McCourty. Like those are plays we say run it down, you know, try to make a play late. It's hard to catch back up to him.
Snap to Mahomes, play fake and a deep drop. Pressure by Claiborne. Moves up, fires deep downfield, and Hill is wide open. Leaps to make the catch at the 35. Runs left past Harmon, down the left sideline, 10-5. Gone! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Ron Harmon is the deep center fielder. He catches the ball 5 yards in front of him.
Everybody knows he's fast. He's super fast. He's the fastest guy in the NFL.
That is a super fast guy in Tyreek Hill. That's a receiver, Jalen Ramsey. This guy who made plays last night. Made plays, receiver plays.
The impressive one, I thought, was the red zone where he was on the left side and Kelce ran a little stick route, sort of like almost rubbed him off on the right. And Hill just darted right across for the back pylon. It was a hell of a throw by Mahomes. It's almost indefensible. You know, when you overload trips to one side and you got the tight end alone on the back and he's coming across and it's at that, just that natural rub route and you just can't keep pace with a guy running that fast away from you. Like you hear Gilmore there, like the fastest dude I ever covered. If he doesn't throw with that velocity on the last touchdown, I think Harmon makes that tackle. He hangs that ball up. That gives Harmon time to react. That ball got there so fast. It was such a dart. It stunned everybody. You heard me like, oh, God. I saw it developing from, you know, up top, and I'm like, holy crap, it's coming. And I just didn't think he was going to run away from him the way he did, but he did. So, big factor, Hill is.
617-779-0985. The 75-yard touchdown was just so quick. Such a strike.
Planets were aligned. It was perfect. You got him in the perfect zone call. You know, to where, you know, Harmon's trying to bell and just go deep, and he sees him coming, and he's turning, and he's running. And there's about a 20-yard cavern there in the middle to where he just gunned the ball, and the ball was, like, high and behind. He made a hell of a catch on it.
Dennis is in Manchester. Dennis.
Hey, Beadle. What's up, Zoe?
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, I just got a comment on why the Patriots only have to worry about maybe one, two teams coming out of the AFC to challenge them each year, and that is the coaching. It is so bad. I was watching the Cincy-Pittsburgh game, and Cincy was playing in Cincy with 3.5 minutes to go.
High-fiving each other on the sideline. Ball game. Yep.
They just pass. And when they crossed over to midfield, they didn't even try to run the ball to try to run the block and waste Pittsburgh's timeouts. And even when they did catch it on the sidelines, the guy's running out of bounds. Unbelievable.
Yeah, since he's the same team. You know, they try and get in a track meet with you. You know, Dalton put up big numbers, just poorly coached. You got a bunch of punks on defense running around trying to take knockout shots. I'm more worried about starting fights than they are covering or making tackles. Nothing's going to change there. Teams like San Diego, I mean, they're quietly 4-2. Here's another thing with Kansas City defensively. Everybody's ripping the defense. Well, at some point, you're going to get Eric Berry and Houston back. It's going to make that defense a little bit better, right? Kansas City has the opportunity to get better defensively. You know, and Mahomes, you wonder how he progresses here throughout the year. Will he take more to coaching and not make the type of errant decisions that he made yesterday? There's ways you can get better. As a Patriots, you can get better as a team, too. But you're not getting bodies back defensively. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he didn't have Malcolm Brown last night.
Derek in New Hampshire. Hi, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Good.
So I was just wondering, what do you guys think about Patterson, about how the Patriots could maybe use him a little more? Because I know he only got one pass last night.
What routes do you think he runs well, Derek?
Post, possibly.
What's the last one he caught? I haven't seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him in practice with Brian Hoyer, you know, hitting him on some deep ones.
Yeah, well,
I think he's pretty much stuck as a, I don't want to say gimmick type of guy, but, I mean, look at Josh Gordon. He came upon the scene 3 weeks ago, and he's already, you know, elevated himself to get more targets or even considered for targets than Patterson would. I think there's only so many things Patterson can do. You've been in the league as long as he has. He's a returner. And it's kind of like you got three or four routes, and that's it. You got the go route. You got the quick hitting screen route to the outside, or you're bringing him in jet motion and handing him the ball or screening it to him. That's it. That is it.
Let's go to John, who's in Maryland. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Great game last night. One major complaint, though. I'll take you back to the Philadelphia New England game in New England a couple of years ago with a mortar kick on special teams when we had momentum, lost that game. The season went south from there. What is in Belichick's head? I know he coached special teams at Detroit in the 70s and Denver. Yeah. With him getting too cute on kickoff and sacrificing right. a major field position against an explosive, fast team. Kick it into the end zone. I heard the crowds on TV derisively cheering when they finally, after the big run back, hitting it into the end zone. Stop sacrificing field position on kickoff. I don't know why he keeps doing that, unless it's the special teams coach going rogue. But what is going on with that? Field position is so valuable, especially against an explosive team. Yet we score, and then we hit that squib kick, and they're up at the 45-yard line. I was screaming.
It was deflating there. No pun intended. they spend on special teamers. They allow, what, $5 or $6 million in cap room to pay for guys that, they always try and find that edge special teams-wise. Bill always has. It's not the special teams coach, Joe Judge and company, going rogue here. It is approved through the head coach when you attempt something. They're trying to adapt to new rules. There's three guys back. There's eight guys up on a return. There's no running start for the kick coverage team. So you're still trying to, 6 weeks into this thing, figure it out. And they need to fix that. They need to fix the kickoff coverage team right now because it's an issue right now from a special team standpoint. And Gostkowski can boot it through the end zone without a problem.
We still don't know what happened on that weird kick that he had. We still don't know.
I don't know.
No one asked him last night, which is crazy.
Yep.
Like, you talked to TV, you talked in the locker room, no one asked him.
Nobody asked Coach either.
What happened on that? Was that supposed to be like that? Was that a squid? Was that
a squid? He got so caught up in the rest of the game, the back and forth. Yeah. Yeah. Did he top it?
I mean, he kicked the ball high. I can tell you that, but I don't know if it was on purpose or not. How would you know?
I didn't see him react. I didn't see him react oddly. I watched him kick it and picked up the team, went right off the field. It's not like, you do that and you're like, you usually throw the hands up if you miss hit something. Or you stand there and you bend over and you're just in disgust. And see, it went right to the sideline. Nobody said anything. It's almost like, okay, they attempted that. They saw something there. They try and bang it off somebody in the front? I don't know. Did they see somebody not paying attention? Say, hey, let's try and kick it at him.
John in New Hampshire. Hi, John.
How's it going, boys?
Good. Hey!
48 with a 10-mile-an-hour wind for whatever reason in Foxborough is a perfect night for football. In Fenway, it's an evening in Siberia, which I think played big into Zoe's comment about the Saturday night crowd.
Beatles comment.
I also wanted to comment that our top four hitters are batting, I think, under 250 for the playoffs, and our middle relief is our strength. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that myself, John. But you're right about Saturday night, John. People there were sort of not into it. It was odd. It was really sort of strange. The crowd shot didn't lie. I know Chris Sale wasn't great, but when he did get something going, when he got a guy looking, I think it was White, who was up. Crowd didn't lie.
Yeah.
Gets a called third strike. And they show the crowd, and like one out of every four people is sitting there clapping. I'm like, are you serious?
What inning was it Cor got thrown out of?
That was the
It was early enough. I mean, Benintendi gets caught looking. And it was outside. It was an outside pitch, but I mean, he took three strikes.
Bottom of the fifth. It was bottom of the fifth.
Get up and swing, man. He's one of your better hitters. Right?
Okay. It's easy to say,
protect
the plate with two strikes, right? But these are professional hitters. That wasn't a strike. It wasn't a strike.
I agree.
Like, how close does it have to be?
It wasn't a strike, but it was 98 miles an hour.
It didn't even touch the black. I mean, look at it. Go back and look.
Who cares how fast it is?
That has nothing to do with it.
I'm saying, I mean, I don't know.
A strike is a strike.
The human element of the umpire. That ball's moving,
if you're talking
man.
About one where half the ball is over the plate and half of it isn't,
right?
That's a strike. Or if it catches the plate. That one,
when he bumped
that was
long,
outside.
You should,
it was a bad call. It was a bad third strike. Why did Cor get himself thrown out of the game?
To protect the player, he said. Protect the player.
I think he just lost his
thought. He kept pushing it, Jim.
He got thrown out of the game before he left the dugout, by the way. That's why he did leave the dugout. It was because he just wouldn't stop. He just wouldn't stop in on the whole play.
He knew he was going to get thrown out.
So he was
Verlander was getting those strikes all game, and Sale was not getting as many. Sale got a few, but he wasn't getting as many as Verlander was
getting.
I don't
think it was so bad that it was one team getting this huge advantage over another. Maybe Verlander got a couple more calls, but just I don't chalk that up to there's some sort of bias in the umpire. I just chalk it up
to terrible.
He's just a bad umpire. Yeah, he's inconsistent. Exactly. His strike zone's all over the place.
See, Cora said after the game too, like, hey, you know, and he was asked about that. You know, it's, you know, I got to be better. It sucks watching a game from the clubhouse. He said, but the other end of it, you got to protect your guys. So it's not like he said he wouldn't do it again.
That's always a losing battle, though.
And right. Then there was the cross-up with Vasquez on that pitch that was right over the plate.
Oh,
on the
my God.
Ball.
It was
and the TBS crew was just washing it away like, oh, well, he couldn't see the pitch,
we
so there's no
it.
Reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just
stood
yeah.
up.
He doesn't have to worry about seeing that pitch.
It was right in the middle of the strike zone. So apparently when that happens because the catcher had, you know, stood up as the pitch was being thrown.
The ball sunk right
and
in
now
there.
Means it's an automatic ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was just terrible the whole game.
Bad umpire.
And then he started squeezing at the end. Towards the eighth, ninth inning, he started getting a smaller strike zone.
Crappy
That's
umpire.
A sign of a bad umpire. A
lot of this in the game. We talked about it last Thursday, didn't we?
Yeah.
I said, now you got to look at these stupid sheets and know who it is that's coming in to do your series because you're worried about how bad the umpiring is going to be.
If Price had started game one with that strike zone last night, things might have turned out differently. He might have pitched better.
617-779-0985. Sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50. Coming up next, we will reward a player from last night's Patriots game.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Tom Brady threw for 24, completed 24 35 passes last night, 340 yards and a touchdown pass, and he ran for another one in the 43-40 win over the Chiefs at Gillette Stadium. How about that one that you ran for, Tom? Looked like you're going to throw it, but you didn't get tackled. What happened?
I don't know what happened. Oh. They had, you know, they doubled three guys on the play, and I'm just glad, you know, I got to watch it tomorrow, but I got close to the goal line and figured I'd just try to get it in.
He did. Next up, Pats travel to Chicago. They play the Bears on Sunday afternoon. The Red Sox beat the Astros 7-5, tying up the ALCS at one game each. Game 3 tomorrow evening in Houston. Game 3 between the Dodgers and Brewers will take place tonight in L.A. They're also tied at one game each. Bruins off until midweek, then back-to-back games Wednesday and Thursday in Edmonton and Calgary. Celtics open up their regular season tomorrow night. They're home to take on the Sixers. Headlines are brought to you by the Peterson School, training the hardest working people in the trade since 1946. Sign up online at petersonschool.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zoe and the Beatles. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third and goal to go from the four. Edelman split left. Gronk, Hogan, Gordon to the right. Now Gronk moves in motion right to left with White in the backfield for Brady, who takes the snap. Backs up. Fires. No, he pumps. And he's hit. He moves up. He's going to run. He dives into the end zone. A touchdown for the Patriots with a flag on the play.
Got to be holding. It's got to be holding on a defense.
Brady somehow was able to pump the arm and hold on to the football and bounce off the head. In for the score.
22. Penalty will be declined. Result of play is a touchdown. That's the way you bring your team back after you make a critical mistake to give them the football. You respond, and I said it with 8 minutes and 21 seconds left. The great ones rise to that type of occasion. And Brady, calm, cool, collected the entire drive, waits, decides at the four to lower the head, go for it. Trent Brown on the backside gets just enough of a push, but Brady runs through it. It's a 4-yard touchdown.
It's now time to see who we should reward for their performance in yesterday's game, last night's game, Patriots Kansas City, brought to you by Coors Light. Be sure to download the Coors Light Rewards app and start earning rewards all football season long, including a video chat with Zoe. So, Zoe, based on what you saw last night, who are we rewarding?
I just think, you know, and that says it all there, 8 minutes and 21 seconds, it's go time. You put your team in a position to, you know, have a chance to close the game out. And I thought he orchestrated two big drives there at the end after the fumble. Fumble was not good. Get the sundial out for that one. You can almost get the sundial out for the touchdown run. But third and goal, you got to find a way to get seven there. You can't get three. And take it into your own hands. And, you know, they thought he threw the ball away. The defender had him wrapped up, let him go because he didn't want to get a penalty. But you got defenders now thinking about it. And, you know, he said three guys are double covered and I had no choice but to run it. So you didn't air and throw one away and get forced to kick three, or you didn't force an interception like Mahomes did prior to the end of that first half. I just thought Brady at the end of the game, when it mattered the most, was money. The throw to Hogan on third and one, and, of course, that throw to Gronkowski, you know, down at right seam to really, you know, put that one away. It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Get back to your calls, 617-779-0985, before we get to the Sounds of Sunday, coming up in 10 minutes. Troy is in Dorchester. Troy.
How you guys doing today?
Hi.
So I was watching that game, and it took me back, and I appreciated James Devlin so willing to block for the running backs. It felt good. It feels good going later into the season to see the Patriots be able to line up in the I formation and really just beat a team all the way down the field, not have to rely on Tom so much. That gives me confidence that they're getting into their late season form, and things are going to turn out good for the Patriots offense.
Well, I mean, you have some balance now. You know, it's not all top pass heavy. They can be top pass heavy. That's what they like to do. They love to throw, put it in Brady's hands. But they did chew some clock. They got first downs in that game. You know, halfway through that second quarter, you're just looking up at the stat sheet and 15 first downs in the first half. You're like, Jesus, they've had the ball and they've had it long. You know, Kansas City was more quick strike. You know, it's up and down and a cloud of dust. And took New England a while to get going, a while to find a tight end. Tight end was getting banged around. But it would matter most, he made a couple plays at the end, too. It's good to see the arm swat back. It's something we haven't seen from Gronkowski. You know, catch the ball and look to run over somebody or swat somebody and keep going. But, you know, he stepped up there at the end, too. I mean, Devlin would have been a good one to give it to, too. I thought he crushed people all night long.
Owen's at work today. What's up, Owen?
How you doing, guys? Love the show. First time calling in.
Owen! What's up?
I agree with you guys on Rafael Devers and Eduardo Nunez, what you guys were saying earlier. And I was just wondering, how long do you think it's going to take Alex Cora to put Brock Holt back in the lineup? Do you think he's going to do it tomorrow night, or do you think he's going to wait until game four to see if Inkins is going to get out of his slump? Because I didn't see it last night. Towards, like, the end of the eighth inning, I heard on the radio, Inkins swung pretty late at a ball that pretty much almost already hit the back of the catcher's mitt.
Well, it is Brocktober. I mean, somebody should tell Cora that.
Brocktober is here.
Yep.
How did he look on Saturday night? I think the
about the same as everybody else.
I think the more we watch of this team, the more we don't love their lineup. That's what I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because your two most exciting players in the lineup just really aren't producing.
That's how I sort of
feel. It sort of blends. Everybody else just blends together. Really.
See the note on Brock Holt, by the way? What's Brad Stevens?
What's the note?
So Brad Stevens is using Brock Holt's example as an example of sacrifice for the Celtics. That he got a cycle in one game and then had to sit out the next and he didn't get to start.
Did you hear Darling during the Saturday broadcast?
If that gets the Celtics to buy in, then I'm all for Brock Holt. If that gets the Celtics to buy in for less minutes.
So going 0-for-4 with three strikeouts on Saturday night is part of the plan?
Yeah.
To push Brock Holt? Is it like a success story?
Teamwork.
Darling even called it a...
He went back to the cycle. He sat out the game after the cycle.
Asterisk cycle. Fake cycle.
Even Darling called it that on the broadcast.
We all sat here the next day and said, you got to play Brock Holt tonight. You know, he even went for the hit for the cycle last night. He's obviously feeling it. I mean, I think we all agreed that he would probably be in the lineup for the next game, and he wasn't. And it was the right call.
I'm just saying that he wasn't.
I see what they're saying.
He wasn't in the lineup. He wasn't in the lineup after hitting for the cycle. And then he strikes out in a game three times, and you're like, why isn't he in there the next game? I don't know. It's harder to make that case last night.
No. Not with Kinsler. Against a power righty who he's 2-for-25 against in his career?
Yeah, Kinsler's not great either.
No.
By the way, I think...
You start Holt there. That's a bad move by Cora, and it worked out against him because Kinsler came up at key spots and struck out last night.
Yeah, I just don't know that you can definitively say Holt would have been better.
No, he might have struck out too, but at least the guy was 2-for-25 against him in his career.
At least you're saying there's some thoughts behind it, I guess.
I think Holt only had 3 at-bats against him.
Tom in Vermont on the Red Sox. Hey, Tom.
And for everything the Red Sox do, Alex Cora, he can do no wrong. But what I'm really upset about is the knock on Devers. I'm hearing all the people say
Devers.
Expectations not quite there. You know, Steve Lyons.
Well, there's your problem. You're listening to Steve Lyons. There's your issue. Maybe that's, I can fix that for you. Don't watch.
Maybe when you're his line goes up to Vermont and he walks down the street, some people say, "Hey, psycho, nice lettuce."
Yeah, he should have trademarked that.
Where's Lyons talking?
Where are you? Post game.
Post game.
Oh.
Turn over Jim Rice.
No.
It's electric stuff. Like I say all the time, whatever they pay Tom Caron, he deserves a raise.
I love Tom Caron.
Whatever they pay that guy, give him a little more money.
Babysitter.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, man, that's not an easy gig he's got there. He's got his hands full at all times. All right, Sounds of Sunday coming up next. I'm excited for it because I haven't been excited about much today.
I can't wait for the Cincinnati.
Zoe and I are like struggling to stay awake today.
I apologize. Cincinnati. We need a Cincinnati game to wake us.
I need a jolt right here. I need Sounds of Sunday, and I need it
come
next.
On, AJ.
You're going to get it.
I need it next.
You're going to get it.
Come on, AJ.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
98.5 The Sports Hub presents Zoe and Beatles Sounds of Sunday.
Guys that are in decline aren't supposed to do that, Bob.
There's something happening here. What they're saying ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a mic over there.
I see him right over there.
Talking nonsense over the air. I think it's time we stopped and listened to the sounds of Sunday coming down.
Very good, very good. Sounds of Sunday is here.
A little reverb.
That's a good groove. But we can get more into the pocket than that, can't we?
I think so.
We can.
I hope so.
Sounds of Sunday, gentlemen. Are we ready?
What are we starting with?
We start with the sound from Saturday. Baseball.
Baseball?
Justin Verlander.
No, this guy is
freak. Maybe, just maybe, is crazy.
I kind of
think. First strikeout for Justin Verlander. Let's check in with Lauren. She's got more on Verlander. What do you have, Lauren?
Yeah, BA. Justin told me he does everything in threes the day he's pitching because, of course, he's trying to get three outs. Three pumps of soap when he washes his hands. Three paper towels. Third stall of the bathroom. Third seat on the bus. He triple knots his shoelaces. He told me, I try to only do it the day of my start because it's kind of over the top. I get it. I save all my little ticks in my body for the day I start so my body's like, all right, today's the day. Let's go.
He's that old school starting pitcher that nobody talks to, looks at.
Three is a magic number. Oh, yes, it is.
Not two.
What if you
not
a magic four? Like, we got a bathroom. We got a bathroom
a magic
here.
Magic number.
We got a bathroom here?
Yeah.
There's only two stalls.
What do you do?
What do you do? You make your third.
Do you count the urinals?
You get a bucket. No, you don't count the urinal. He said stalls.
You go to the first
stall. I know that he said stalls, no. But if he's looking for a three, there are three sinks in there. Maybe he just uses a sink.
You go to stall one, but you go number one and number two. And then it's three.
That makes sense.
There's one.
Yeah.
It's three.
What a weirdo.
What do you do with those ticks, too? Do you pull them out with tweezers?
Yeah, a different kind of tick. Different tick. Not the same kind of tick. Let's go to the NFL Network.
I kind of dig the dude. That's psychotic to a certain extent, which makes him that psycho. And I dig it.
Yeah, I like the superstitions. Those are fun. NFL Network pregame. Michael Irvin. Oh, my God.
Oh, what are you going to say now?
There's a striking similarity to someone who's in the room with us right now here.
What do I do?
He attempts a British accent.
Hello!
I don't know why.
What would you do? What do you typically do when you attempt the accent?
Good day, yo, dome. Hello. Would you like to have some tea with the Queen?
So bad.
We was going to see Parliament. I'm going to scream in the face of the guys with the fuzzy heads.
You know, but for years.
I'm morphing into jello pudding pops. I'm Bill Cosby and I'm in the Queen and can I'm on the London Bridge.
British Bill Cosby.
Imagine going over to London
Bridge. No, but one of the things
that's coming at you where Bill Cosby and Morgan Freeman, they're walking like different ways. It'd be like Goodfellas with the guy on the boat, the two dogs, one's going one way, one's going the other.
Yeah, this one's like, no,
what do we do?
I forget what I was going to say. I don't. Okay.
No, I know what it was. Zoe always says mate.
Good day, mate.
No, like, no, that's not. Hello. That's, hello, mate.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You have a bit of the stomachache there, mate.
Okay. So, for some reason, Michael Irvin slips mate. Into a British accent when he's talking about Mahomes. I don't know why.
Well, let me tell you what I think about this. I do believe after 18 great years on top of the mountain, mate, the mate mountain, the New England Patriots and Tom Brady with Bill Belichick have been up there. And I think now, mate, that mate mountain.
I can't listen to the rest of it. I'm so embarrassed for him.
Yeah. Here's the setup.
Athletes take it was, London as mate?
I don't know.
Hello, but mate.
It was Steve Mariucci, Kurt Warner, and also Michael Irving all dressed up like the guards at the palace. Okay. In the red jackets.
Yeah, let's try really hard.
All of it, right? And Warner did the same thing. Kurt Warner said, hello, mate. And then he was like, all right, I can't do the accent.
Because of the London game?
Yes. Yes, they were doing it in the London theme for the game being played over there yesterday. That's why they did it.
It's going to be joined by Patrick Mahomes now and Andy Reid. Now, trust them. They may not get by today.
What are you, morphing the church lady? Yeah, the devil?
I don't know what this is.
Satan?
He's so crack brain. He's got crack brain.
It's like...
All that residual crack just floating around in his head.
In New England, but ultimately, that boat ride has come to an end, man. I'm telling you, man.
Now he's Jamaican.
Now this is what happens when you...
It's unbelievable. When you smoke a lot of crack.
And now all of a sudden, the brother is the Jamaican version of the British Parliament.
Thing has come to an end, man. Oh, that's Jamaican.
That's something else.
You know what they do when you're in Jamaica? They say, hey, man.
The mate
good
mountain.
Good day, mate.
Did you hear him say the mate mountain?
What mate mountain?
Wow.
Maker's Mark?
They've been on top of the mountain.
Mate mountain.
The mate mountain.
Is that where they go to? That's Brookback Mountain.
Let's get to some radio calls here. Panthers radio. Devin Funchess scored, and Eugene Robinson got very excited.
Newton lofts the pass. Funchess, he's open. Makes the catch. The left side of the end zone for the touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
Manhandled that one.
He Randy Mossed him. He jumped over the top of his head, picking like penis off the top of his head,
picking
and
what?
Scoops the ball up and holds it with one hand. What a beautiful play off the double move once again.
And the perfect throw. Dunbar never saw it coming.
Dunbar. Oh, that looks just terrible. Ouch.
Picking peanuts off the top of his head?
Is that what peanuts? He said?
Picking like penis off the top of his head.
Nice. There's a T at the end. He's picking something. I don't think it's peanuts. Give me it again. One more time.
Picking like penis off the top of his head.
He's picking like a...
No, he's picking penis off the top of his head.
He's picking like penis off the top of his head.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, now it makes sense.
It makes no sense.
Three guys in that booth, huh?
A lot of dudes.
I believe Dolphins radio has three guys in the booth, too, don't they?
Joe Rose, Jimmy Cefalo, and Bob Greasy.
Well, let's hear the Dolphins radio of the game-winning field goal.
47 yards. The kick is up. The kick is good!
He hit the kick! Jason Sanders has won the game for the Miami Dolphins!
No flags! It's over!
And there ain't no flags! Are you expecting a flag on a field goal?
Well, you're seeing if the call's final so you can go nuts.
You're thinking like on a deep pass.
Right. That's where you're looking for the flags.
Or a kickoff return. Right. For a touchdown.
Maybe Miami has a ton of holding calls.
No flags. But field goal's good and there ain't no flags. What?
We have three bits of audio from the Patriots broadcast, which is, of course, Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak. So, first one, we have to ask Zoe.
I don't know.
If he's okay.
If who's okay?
If you're okay.
About what?
We're going to ask you.
Oh.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Takes the snap. Backs up. Fires. No, he pumps. And he moves up.
Maybe we should ask if Soucy's okay.
Right. I'm like, what's he doing, Bob? I'm yelling, run! Run! I saw the opening. Run!
Backs up. Fires. No, he pumps. And he moves up. He's going to run. He dives into the end zone. A touchdown for the Patriots.
That's where we were concerned about you. Right here, Zoe.
Dives into the end zone.
You know, I've been watching the games in the booth. And I've been pretty good about, professional, quiet. Yeah, that right. was, I thought I made it onto the call last night when I yelled,
that was a big
run one. It in! Like, it's right there!
Run it!
Never run it in!
He pumps, no. He passed.
Look, we were making fun of Michael Irvin for his British accent.
Run it, mate!
Zoe was doing impressions last night.
No, it was not.
Yeah, yeah. This is you right here.
Brady backs up. He throws it left for Hogan down the seam. Reaches up and makes the catch at the 8. Drilled at the 5 by Parker. It'll be a first and goal to go on back-to-back receptions for Chris Hogan.
What you going to do, brother, when Chris Hogan makes 2 consecutive plays on you? Old comedian.
Oh, I get it.
Bob did follow it up with a vitamin ad. Take your vitamins, kids.
What do you have
more
for breakfast?
More of a PSA than an ad.
That's right.
Yeah.
Finally.
Take your vitamins.
A new term was invented last night on the broadcast. A new phrase was introduced into the lexicon.
Second and 5 with the football placed down on the Flying Elvis logo.
Look at this.
Gordon splits left. Brady in the inverted bone. He's surrounded by.
Whoa. Hey.
Turn around like the Beatle.
Hey.
Whipped his head around so fast last night.
I'm like, mark it.
Bone. He's surrounded by 3 teammates. Brady takes the snap. Play fake to Patterson. Dropping back. Throwing it to Patterson. One-on-one against D4. Runs right sideline. First down. And he shouldered out of bounds along the far side.
Give me some more of that inverted bone right there.
That's what it was.
You just going to let that go?
Inverted bone.
The old inverted bone.
Inverted bone.
If the inverted bone stays with you for more than 4 hours, please contact your local office.
Gentlemen, that is it for Sounds of Sunday.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Nice. 3 down, 1 to go.
As much as I couldn't listen to that in one, just, you know, one session, I want to go back and listen to Michael Irvin again.
Yes.
Can we do it for
takeaways? Real quick.
Can
we do it? We're going to do takeaways.
Well, can we hear Mariucci, maybe?
I am a church lady on me. I'm morphing to the... Yeah, hey, man, Jamaican man from the mate.
What are you doing?
Hardy has headlines. 90 seconds, no commercial.